All right, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I so much enjoy coming here, and I really do. I so much enjoy coming here. It's such a blessing. It's such a blessing to watch lives change, and I mean genuinely change, and it's just an awesome thing. And I just want to encourage somebody on tonight that don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry. Take your time and see the city. Don't get in a hurry. See, because I spent a whole lot of my life in a hurry. Always in a hurry. Always found myself. Now listen, my choices allowed me to find myself in uncomfortable places. But there were times in my life where I didn't make a bad choice, but I found myself in uncomfortable places. And I wanted out by any means necessary. I wanted out, even to make bad decisions to get out. And I had to ask myself this: why am I looking for exits without answers? Why am I looking for exits without answers? Stop trying to get out until you figure out why you're there. See, because God is going to take, God, when God calls a person and he has a calling on your life, God has something for you to do that you don't yet understand. The Bible says your gifts come without repentance. Means whatever you are good at, if you're a good speaker, if you're a good person, people, if you're a good person to count money, if you're a good builder, if you're a good coach, whatever your gifts were before you got saved, God is going to use those gifts because that's what he called you to. Amen. But he's going to build you up first. Yeah, I went to a full gospel businessman's breakfast with Pastor George McCowan, John Sullivan, Joe Mann, all these big men of God back in 1996, all these pastors were in this room and there was me. And the guy was up front. He was a traveling prophet. This guy was, he could bend nails. Some of you guys probably seen him over the years. He could bend nails and spikes and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, this guy had me stand up. He had me stand up. And as I stood up, you know, kind of ashamed because I felt like I was the least in the crowd. And that's something you can never do. We're all children of God. We're all children of God. But I felt like I was the least in the room, so I was kind of ashamed when I stood up. And he pointed at me. He said, "Brother, you see all these pastors in the room?" I looked around. He said, "God's got a ministry for you that nobody in this room can touch." And I looked at him because I was still 1 foot in the dope game, 1 foot in the church, 1 foot in the grave, actually. You know, half dead, more dead. In those days, I was more dead than alive. And I looked at him and shook my head. He said, "Brother, I'm telling you." He said, "You're going to reach people that nobody in this room can reach." And he looked at me and said, "But it's going to be a while." He said, "Because you won't be still." That dude didn't know me. He said, "You won't be still." He said, "You always in a hurry." He said, "You're going to keep falling on your face until you be still and let God do what he's got to do." And I looked at this guy and he says, "But when God is through with you, when he gets to you and gets a hold of you, he's going to fix you up. He's going to put you out there like a slingshot, clean you up and send you back to the streets." That was 1996. And I just couldn't get it right. Because every time, and I preached this sermon a few weeks ago, a month, whatever it was, about what is help. So I didn't quite even understand what help was. In the place to get help and looking for something else, looking for trinkets, I was okay with collecting trinkets, collecting shoes, collecting new shirts, new jackets, all those things. You know, when I even memorize scripture after scripture, I don't even know how many scriptures that I know. But I know that today it's not about memorization. I know that today the Holy Ghost lives in me. And I know that he says that he will bring all things to my remembrance. And every time I'm in a situation, God brings up the scripture that I need for that situation. But it took some years for me. It took years for me. I never thought it was going to ever come to fruition because I just would not be still. The calling didn't make sense with the lifestyle. The desire didn't make sense. You know, and I would make dumb decisions. You know, I'm going to tell a story. I think I've told this story in there before. I'm going to tell it again tonight. God's pulling it in my heart. About it's never over. There's a story about these three trees that were planted on top of a hill over a valley. And those three trees growed side by side all these years. And they began to talk to each other. And the one tree says, "Hey, where do you want to be when you grow up?" And the first tree says, "You know what?" He says, "When they cut me down, I want them to take me to the woodcutter's house. And I want them to make me into a treasure chest." He said, "I want to hold the finest treasure of this world. I want to hold the fine treasure of this world." Not a bad idea. Not a bad dream. Not a bad vision. The Bible says my people perish. Without a vision, my people perish. He had a vision. The second one says, "You know what?" He said, "I want to be made into a mighty sailing ship. So I want to carry the kings across the waters, back and forth." It's a good vision, a good dream. He had a vision. The third tree said, "Well, you know what?" He said, "I don't ever want to be cut down." He said, "Every time people wade down that valley, look up on this hill, and they see me, I want them to see heaven." Awesome vision, awesome dream, man. Some of us have had dreams. God has told you some things. God has spoken to you when there was nobody around but you. You might not even understood what it was, but it was God telling you. It was God giving you direction, giving you some encouragement, letting you know what he has for you. And he told you already some things, some of you, where he's taking you to and what you're going to be in life. But it's hard to believe when you see yourself standing where you're standing. So anyway, years later, the trees were grown. Three woodsmen come to the hill. The first woodsman grabs his axe and he goes back and whap, knocks down that first tree. That first tree was just lucky too, boy, because they took him straight to the woodcutter's house. Remember, he wanted to go to the woodcutter's house. He wanted to be made to that treasure chest. Remember? His dream. They took him to the woodcutter's house. He was happy. But that day, there was no treasure chest made. Only thing was made that day was an old pig's trough. First tree was made into an old pig's trough, Pastor. Lost his dream, didn't he? Dream gone. Over. He's a pig's trough. Second woodsman goes up. He goes up with that axe. Whop. Knocks down that second tree. And it was his lucky day. They took him to the shipyard. He already made it to a mighty sailing ship. But there was no mighty sailing ship made that day. Only thing made that day was an old fishing boat. He lost his dream. The third one didn't ever want to come off that hill. He wanted people to see heaven every time they saw him. He was hollering, "Wait, wait, wait." Pop! It was too late. Fell to the ground. They cut him into two beams. Hung him up in an old barn. An old wood place, whatever. He lost his dream. Somebody in this room tonight thinks, "I lost my dream. God told me when I was a kid I was going to be this. I just knew in my heart I had aspirations of doing this. I was going to be a good father. I haven't seen my son now in 3 or 4 years, but I was going to be a good father. I don't know what I can do now because I made some terrible mistakes. And one day, in a snowstorm, that first tree was in a stall, in a barn. That old pig trough was in the barn with hay on top of it. In a storm, all of a sudden the door busts open. And in walks a pregnant woman with her husband. They had that baby. And they put that baby in that old pig trough. People came from all around the world putting gifts at the foot of this old pig's trough. They came and worshiped this old the baby in this old pig's trough, and all of a sudden, that pig trough said, "Wait a minute. I'm holding the greatest treasure this world would ever know." He didn't lose his dream. This didn't come the way he thought it was coming. Didn't lose his dream. Second ship, the little fishing boat, one day, out on the water, 13 men on this old fishing boat, one of them sleeping. Now, why would I ask you if you turned your phone off? That's my woman, too, Pastor. You got permission to scold her, Pastor. You got permission to scold her. I ask if you turn that phone off. You buying dinner tonight. But anyway, 13 men in that old fishing boat. One of them laying in their sleep. A storm came, starts rocking that boat everywhere, tossing it and turning it. The 12 men got scared. They running and screaming and hollering. They woke up the 13th man and said, "Hey, we about to die." He got up. That old sleeping man got up and he stood up and he said, "Peace, be still." And he calmed the storm. The waves obeyed him. The winds obeyed him. The rain obeyed him. That boat realized, "Wait a minute. I'm taking the king across the water." "So I'm taking the greatest king the world ever know across the water." He got his dream, man. The same way, he didn't get it the way he thought, but he got what he asked for. He got what he asked for. But then, you know what, that third tree, there's no way he could get his dream. He's cut down. They can't look up that hill and see heaven when they see him no more. He's cut down. He just laying up there on that shelf one day, and there came a ruckus down the street. All kind of noise, big crowds. The man in front had been beat down, bleeding, spit on, stripped. They take him in there and make him get them two beams off that wall. And they put them two beams together and made him carry him up the hill as far as he can carry it. They took them two beams to Golgotha, the hill, the skull, and they hung that man on those two beams. And when the sky shook and it got dark, and on the third day when that man rose out of that grave and walked up out of there, that tree realized, "Wait a minute. Every time somebody see that cross, they're going to see heaven." Where you sitting today, and I've said this before, the difference in your lot in life and your destiny is your lot in life is where you choose to settle. Come on. Hallelujah. If you choose to settle being a nickel and dime guy hanging on the corner, panhandling, stealing, lying, and selling dope, if that's your lot in life you choose to settle, that's on you. But the difference in your lot in life and your destination is God has a place he wants to take you. I hadn't planned to go here, but God has taken me here. I look at my own life. 25-year crack addiction, dope fiend, pervert, thief, liar, whatever it took, predator, whatever it took, in prison 20 years. I got 20 years of my life in cages, 20 years of my life in chains, bound up 20 years of my life. God changed my life. And when God changed my life, I still went to prison because I had, there's always consequences to your sins. But the difference is I went to prison this time. I left prison in prison. I went to prison this time. I was in the prison, but I wasn't of the prison. So I walked through those yards this time, but I wasn't reciting the creed for the black gangster disciples. I was no longer reciting the duck, the we. All those things, the blueprint, none of that stuff made, the Willie Lynch letters, none of that stuff made a difference to me. I didn't want none of that. Leave me alone with that mess. I mean, even in the county jail before I got to prison, I ran with the black gang disciples before, and they were in the block while I was at. They were thick, and they were stealing little bags of candy and shoes and stuff and want to get me in that mess. And I tell them, I said, I can't deliver hurt you. I said, can you bring it here? I'm telling. He said, don't call me for a witness, because I'm going to tell the truth. Don't call me for a witness. If you don't want to know the truth, don't call me. And see, and even in today, as I mentor, as I do what I do, I help anybody. That's silly. I see game. I know game. You know what I mean? But my heart is big enough that I'll come see about you. But I'm not going to play the game of a fool. I'm not going to court and lie for you. You're going to tell me, hey, you be my mentor. Yeah, I'll be your mentor. 2 months, I ain't heard nothing from you. All of a sudden, you call me and say, hey, I'm in jail. Can you come to court for me? For what? What you want me to do? I'll come look. That's all I got. And then if she said, Mr. Calsall, do you know this man? I know him. I ain't heard nothing from him. I haven't talked to him. I know what he's doing. I went in that place and I refused to be part of the prison system. And not only that, but I refused to be in a hurry. Something in my heart had finally settled. And people tell me, man, I got to file. Man, you know what you're doing this? You ought to file this. You know, you ought to. Man, I'm not filing anything. It says, do not be anxious for anything, but with prayer and supplication, present your request to God. I had already filed a petition. I had already filed a petition. This was my petition. I said, God, don't you let a dope fiend walk out this prison no more. I said, God, don't you let a thief walk up out this prison no more. I said, God, don't you let an infidel walk up out this prison no more. And when people hear me pray that, they thought I was crazy. They said, man, what's wrong with you? You ain't trying to go home? You want to die in here? I said, check this out. When I die, I'm going to heaven because I'm saved. So I don't care where I leave from. It's where I get when I leave. It didn't matter where I left from. It was where I was going when I left because I quit being in a hurry. I wanted to get what God had for me. I said, God, you sent a man of God home up out of here. And as I began to preach in the prisons, I went through all kind of turmoil. I had people come against me. The world's going to come against you. Officers lied on me. Just all kind of stuff. And you know, I was an elder. I'm going to say where I went. The last place I was down, I was an elder. And one of the guys, one of the officers around the church come against me one day. They put me in the hole. And as they were walking me across that yard to the hole, carrying my stuff, I had to put on that red suit. And there was guys, look at the preacher. Look at the preacher. See, there would have been times where that would have embarrassed me. Yeah. See, there would have been times that would have made me angry. I get you. I see you when I get out, punk. That would have been my conversation some time ago. But it didn't matter. I carried my stuff proudly. across that yard, because I knew that if I was going in there, there was something God needed me to do in there. I knew it was something he needed me to learn in there. And I didn't have a pass to get in there. So I went off into that hole. And boy, they ridiculed me. Some of them did. Every now and then, some of them was okay. But they really, wow, look at the preacher. The preacher in here with us now. Pray yourself out of here. You know, they were, boy, look here. It was all kind of dumb stuff. You know, I mean, little guy. What little guy about this big? I could have probably kicked him clean over the top of that pop machine had I wanted to. But I knew he didn't understand what he was doing. I knew he didn't understand what he was doing. So I went through what I had to go through. I went through what I had to go through. You know, and then this guy, the enemy got in. He didn't get in me, but he came at me. He came at me. In prison, there was a lady officer, the second shift supervisor. She was a lieutenant. One morning about 2 o'clock, they come to my bed, they wake me up, and they said, Lieutenant Foster want to see you. Not down in the day room. You know, not day room, but down in the shift office. Now, you've been to prison, you know what that call is. Somebody done died. That's all they can be. So I get my stuff on. My mom's older and getting sick, you know, sickly. I got the son out there, brothers and sisters. So I'm walking that long yard across this yard to see what, you know, I'm just thinking, praying to God, Lord, you know, give me the strength. Because I understand that we all got a day to die. And see, because of the gratefulness of God in my life, I have some acceptance. So I'm walking the yard and I get down to the shift office. And there she sat behind the desk, got on lipstick, got the music playing, and looking crazy. I'm looking across the desk. Listen, I'm telling you, anybody come. See, now listen, let me don't get this twisted. 20 years ago for me, that would have been a gift. But I knew that was a trap. I know this is a trap. She come across the desk and tried to grab me in the wrong places. All kind of stuff. I'm running around the desk. You know what I mean? Hey, then all of a sudden, you know, I'm saved, baby. You know what she told me? She said, me too. Good baby. She said, me too. So look here, I sat down by the other side of the desk, listened to a little music, and she went to talking. Look, next night they woke me up, I go back down there, she done brought some food in. And this went on. For months this went on and on. She said, when you get out, I'm leaving this job. This is my house. Show me pictures of house. This women brought a Lexus. Came back and showed me the pictures, great Lexus. This is what you gonna drive when you get out. So now, I'm starting to question, well, God, maybe this is what you're sending me. You know, hey, you know, you're just, I'm a human being. God, this is what the shoe. All right. You know, hey. The night that she came to Fort Wayne, met my mama, took my brothers and sisters out to eat, gave my brother some money. Hey, go buy him some clothes. My brother went and bought me some clothes, some colognes, and all kind of stuff. She come back. She said, baby, because my brothers, they won't come get me at midnight. It was almost time for me to get out. And they were going to stay at a hotel down there because I was going to go by and see her. She said, no, y'all staying here. She said, I'm barbecuing some ribs. I'm frying some chicken. I'm doing all this. Oh, I had all kind of, had a menu. She said, baby, I got some cool water cologne sitting on the dresser for you. I got you some outfits. I'm thinking, all right. But let me tell you something. I got to go back just a little bit. I got pictures that are still at home. Ray Charles' daughter, who saved, she came into the prison. And she began to preach over us, and she began to prophesy. And she called me up, and I raised my hands, and she began to prophesy. She said, you're going back to Fort Wayne, and you're going to be an associate pastor at a church you used to go to. And I told her, I said, well, no. I said, because this lieutenant, her pastor came to see me. I said, no, I'm going to Indianapolis, and I'm going to be at this church. And she said, she took on the back of that picture, and she wrote the date. She said, mark the date here, and remember this date I told you this. And I'm thinking, she don't know what she's talking about. I said, God, but I know, I trust you. That night I got out at midnight, my brother didn't come and got me. I called that woman. She didn't answer the phone. I called her again. She didn't answer the phone. We hung out in Apple for a little while, and I kept calling. She never answered the phone. You know, from that day, that's been several years ago, from that day to this day, I have not laid eyes on that woman. I had not laid eyes on that woman. And so I asked God some things. I asked God. I began to deal with it. I began to ask God, God, what was that about? And God, you know, I was going through a rough time, even though I was going through a rough time in peace in prison. She took me through a rough season and made it real comfortable. God says, so, you know, sometimes people in your life just for a season. He said, then I wanted, God, he said, I wanted you to see you. See, because I was one of those guys, I had to have a woman three or four times a day when I was on that dope because that was the pervert I was. And you know what? I kept myself. He said, I wanted you to know that you could keep yourself. From the day God saved me, from that day to this, I've still been celibate. God has kept me because I wanted to be kept. And he showed me, don't get in a hurry. Wherever you're sitting, if you don't like your case manager, if you don't like the halfway house you're in, if your bunkie snores, if his feet stink, whatever going on in there, you know what? God's got you there for a reason. Get what you have to get for you. Because when you come out, even when I got saved and I started living right, I started living right, and God took me through some things. God delivered me from cancer. God delivered me from some things. He brought me through some things. And it was okay with me. I was up. I was excited. And my prayer one day, I said, God, you know what? I don't need for nothing today. You know, you meet all my needs. And God took me through a period. And remember, listen, I need to hear this. God took me through a period of daily manna. It was a time I never seemed to have extra. But I didn't need for nothing. Yep. I didn't need for nothing. I didn't understand it. Because if you looked at the way my income was, I should have been in behind, in the rears. But I wasn't needing for nothing because he wanted to show me I'll take care of you tomorrow, just like I took care of you today. You know, I got out and I got on disability and all those kind of things. And in the back of my mind, I'm going to ride this on out. God said, not so. Not so. And God, I told God, this was my prayer, Pastor. I said, God, my name, I'm not going to be much longer. God said, my name. I told God, my name is horrible, God. I said, I'm going to have to leave this city to have a real ministry. I'm going to have to leave this city to be able to be used by you for real because my name is horrible. And God just laughed. And God cleaned my name up. God cleaned my name up. He cleaned my name up. I mean, he cleaned my name up among my family. He cleaned my name up in my house. He cleaned my name up in the community. He cleaned my name up in the church. Don't get in a hurry. I'm going to say this. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to sit down. I was at a restaurant a few weeks ago. I sat there and I was on the phone talking to somebody. Young man came up to me and said, hey, I need to talk to you. I didn't recognize the young man. Didn't recognize him. I said, okay, hold on. I said, hey, look, hold somebody to talk to me. I don't know if he's in trouble or what. Let me call you back. And I looked at him and said, yes, sir. Young man looked at me and said, you don't remember me, do you? Now, if you came from the lifestyle I came from, The next word after that is usually, now what's up? You know what I mean? Now what's up? That's usually the next thing you hear. That's just the way we lived. So in my mind, I began to quickly try to process this. But before I went to that, I said, don't matter who he is, God, I know who you are. I know God made me some promises. God said he would make me the head and not the tail. Yeah. He would make me above and not beneath. He said he would make me the lender and not the borrower. Yeah. God said that the battle was his and not mine. So I began, I looked at him, I said, well, no, young man, I don't remember you. I said, I've been through a lot. Been a lot of places. I'm sorry. You know, I don't remember you. He says, I've been following you. So I've been following you. Now I'm looking at him. Just for a moment, I sized him up for a second. You know what I mean? Just for a second, okay. And I got out of that. See, because I've trained my heart, not my head, because my head a lie. I have trained my heart to get out of the problem and in the solution. And when he said that, I said, okay. He said, you go to Wings Deliverance, don't you? I said, yeah, yes, sir, I do. He said, I saw you going there one day and I followed you and I sat in the back. I said, okay. He said, there's a young man in that church always hollering about, praise the Lord, hallelujah. He said, and I see him at the dope house all the time. He says, I know he's faking. He said, I didn't think God was real. He said, because I've seen you going there. He said, I know it ain't nothing but little people playing now. He said, I know this dude ain't standing on nothing. He said, I told my wife, I started to check him when I saw him. This is what he told. He said, he's talking to me. And I said, okay. He said, but brother, he said, every time I see you, you're trying to help somebody. He said, every time I see you, you're doing the right thing or trying to do something better than you used to be. He said, listen, he said, I didn't think God was real, but because of you, I know God is real. Don't ever give up. Don't get in a hurry. You're in a halfway house and you not where you want to be. Don't matter. You are right where you're supposed to be. You're right where you're supposed to be, because just like David, God called David when David was 17 years old. He called David to be the king. David didn't take the throne until he was 30. But what day was he really the king? He was the king at 17. God has called you to be something. You are that right now. You're in the early stages of being what God has called you. Continue to walk it out. Talk to the mentors. Talk to the pastors. Talk to your preachers. Talk to God. But, you know, talk to each other. Encourage each other. But God, feast, think, buy some soap. Some Clorox or something. Whatever you got to do. You know, make peace in the house. What you need to do is you go back. You go back to the house or wherever you at. You go back and you be the best one in there. You be the first one up. You be the one to clean up stuff. You be the one to pick the garbage up. You be the one to clean the bathroom when nobody wants to clean it. You be the one to take the trash out. You be the one. You be the best in there and you be the example. Let God use you. Let's pray.